Each of us has something that we consider most precious in our lives. And I suppose it would be interesting for each of us to share with one another maybe the five most special things, but this morning we'll forego that. But each of us has something special in terms of our name, our family name, our reputation. We want it to be appreciated by other people, that they recognize who we are. But the truth is that even though a person could be a very good, honorable person, that his name or his reputation can be ruined by someone else's lies or by their insinuations. And so it can be that it can even happen to God. God who is holy, God who is just, God who is gracious. And yet, some people, by their lies, by their accusations of God, of how he didn't do this right, or how he doesn't care for or love those people, can bring his name down. And so it is that Jesus included in the Lord's Prayer the petition that says, "Hallowed be thy name." God's name is holy. You can't get any holier than that. The example of gold. Pure gold is 24 karat gold. You can't get 26 karat gold or 30 karat gold. God's name is pure gold. God's name is completely holy. And yet we know that with the gold, that if you mix in some base metals, well, it can become 18 karat gold or 14 or even 10 karat gold. And so some people, by ridiculing God's name, by not obeying it, by dishonoring it, by disgracing it, by misusing it, by abusing it, by blasphemy, can degrade it. Or the picture of the sun. The sun is always shining as brightly and giving off as much light and heat. But at times we don't sense that, do we? Now we look out, we say, wow, the sun isn't very bright today because it's cloudy or because it's foggy. And certainly there are times we don't see the sun at all. It's nighttime. But God and his holy name are always there. How special. God's holy name. And then he shares it with us. You know, we can understand if God only gave his name to the angels or to believers after they had died and gone to heaven. But God gives his name to us and encourages us to use it in our prayers, in our praise, in our witnessing about him. Even in his graciousness, that he says that we can come and call him our Father. And so as we recognize how much God has done for us, how much he has given us, who he is in all his majestic holiness, that we want to hallow God's name. So how do we do that? Well, in the explanation that we learned in the Catechism of the first petition, Martin Luther says, when God's word is taught in its truth and purity, and we as the people of God live according to it. God's word, taught in its truth and purity. We take it for granted, don't we? That's what it's going to be as we gather to worship, as we gather around his word, that The pastors who are leading us are going to be doing it in God's truth, in His purity. But then we recognize, you know, there are certain other denominations, or certainly in the cults, where they can take that very word of God and change a little bit, or misapply it, and have it say something that it's not saying, and can lead many people astray, maybe even forever. And so that becomes a concern for us, doesn't it? What if our children or our grandchildren, or what if even it starts to contaminate each of us? How do we keep God's name holy? And so His encouragement is that we keep going back to the Word, that we recognize what God says and that we hold on to it. Let me share with you a few Bible passages. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 and 7. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, and when you walk around the, when you walk along the road, and when you lie down, and when you get up. And then again in Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 32. See that you do all I command you. Do not add to it or take away from it. Or the words that we're very familiar with of Jesus. Matthew chapter 28. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Over and over, God reminds us to hold on to His word, hold on to the truth of it. And then as He gets to the end, the last chapter of the last book of the Bible, John the disciple writes, if anyone takes words away from this book of prophecy, God will take away from him his share in the tree of life in the holy city, which are described in this book. If anyone adds anything to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. So he says that God takes very seriously this matter of hearing His word, this matter of studying His word, the matter of then living according to it. So how important for us to keep gathering around His word, whether in Bible study or in worship services, so that we can do that teaching to our children, teaching to our grandchildren. Or what if a neighbor or a friend or a fellow worker says, you know, what is it that you in your Lutheran church teach about this or teach about that? What do we say? How do we know what to say? And so to keep getting back into that word, to be faithful in the reading of it, to be faithful in the studying of it, as we really commit ourselves to be praying, hallowed be thy name. So we want to be keeping his name holy even as we read and study that word. And not to have the attitude, well, you know, if nothing else comes up, I guess I'll be there. If I'm not too busy, if I'm not too inconvenienced, but recognizing what the Lord has done for us, and even inconvenienced enough to go to the cross, that we want to spend time hearing what does He say to us in His word. Another way that we can be unhallowing God's word is with our own speech. Profanity. Or even just an exclamation, throwing out God's name without speaking about Him, without speaking to Him. mercy. Calling God's wrath down on something or someone. And recognizing that, you know, when we use that kind of language, it doesn't benefit the person who uses it. It certainly doesn't benefit the person who hears it. In the Old Testament laws, Moses got it from God. Said, if anybody blasphemes or misuses my name, the person should be put to death by stoning. Okay, how else do we hallow God's name? Martin Luther says that as we live according to his word, as we live to give glory to his name, you know, maybe your fellow workers, neighbors, don't know what our church believes or teaches, but they observe how its members live. If our life is given over to profanity, to lying, to seeking revenge against other people, to drunkenness, to having an unforgiving spirit, maybe they begin judging our church that way, or even by implication, judging our God that way. There was a pastor who had accepted a call to a new community, a new congregation. And after he had been in that community for a couple of weeks, he went to the barber shop to get a haircut. The barber was ready to talk about anything and everything, including religion. And so the pastor, without identifying himself, just asked that barber whether he was a member of any local congregation. And he said, no. But if I were to join a church, it would be the church that Mr. Shearer goes to. And the pastor said, why would that be? He said, well, you know, he has a shop next to mine. And I've noticed him to be such an honest person, such a caring person, that if ever I were going to join a church, it would likely be that one. And so the question comes to us, would people say that about us? That they would like to join our congregation because they observe how we live, observe how we treat other people. Certainly Mr. Shearer kept this petition in the forefront, hallowing God's name. The Lord's Prayer is certainly precious to all of us. The petition, we recognize, is important for each of us. And maybe it becomes a pledge for us that as we pray this petition, that we're really pledging ourselves to be faithful in hearing God's word, to be faithful in reading and studying God's word, pledging ourselves to be willing to use his name in worship, in prayer, but also in witnessing, in sharing with others what God's word means to us, why it's special to us. Pledging ourselves to watch our speech, that it doesn't bring dishonor to our Lord. Sounds easy enough, doesn't it? And yet we recognize that it becomes also a challenge for us. And so in the explanation, Martin Luther also adds, this grant us, dear Father in heaven. We can't do it on our own. We need God's help. We need God's direction. And so we pray that he would guide us in our praying, but even in our living, this petition. Ask you to turn to your bulletin, whether in the front cover or even in the midst of the liturgy, as we'll go through the explanation. I'll read the petition and the questions, and you respond with the answers. Hallowed be thy name. What does this mean?
God's name is certainly holy in itself, but we pray in this petition that it may be kept holy among us also.
How is God's name kept holy?
God's name is kept holy when the word of God is taught in its truth and purity, and we as the children of God also lead holy lives according to it. Help us to do this, dear Father in heaven. But anyone who teaches or lives contrary to God's word profanes the name of God among us. Protect us from this, Heavenly Father.
Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds and your lives in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.